I urge you to open up your heart, open up your spirit, and say, God, I want a blessing tonight so that I can have victory in my week, that I can go forth in courage, believing that all things are possible to those that believe. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving.
Oh yes, God.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
The atmosphere of the Holy Ghost is already in the house. If you can just tap into it. Hallelujah. There's a dimension right above your head. If you will lift your hands and say, God, I want to get a hold of the living water that you have ready to pour upon my soul. Believe me, the spirit has already been created. The atmosphere is already here. I feel the Holy Ghost. If you'll tap into it.
Sanctuary.
Oh, yes, God. Oh, yes, God. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah.
Lord, prepare me. Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Oh God, yes, 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 yes.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
A shout out of a heart. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. The Holy Ghost is in the house. Hallelujah. I can feel the presence of God moving over this house. If you reach your hands up and begin to praise, if you lift your hands up and say, God, I love you. God, I want to be pure and holy, God, but more than that, hallelujah, I want to be a living sanctuary. Hallelujah, I want my blessing, Jesus. I don't want to leave the house of God until I have it. This, you shouldn't be ashamed of asking for a blessing, because God wants to give it to you freely.
Yes, God. Oh, prepare me, be a sanctuary, pure and holy,
God
and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Hallelujah. We're getting ready to sing another song, but I want you to understand something. Hallelujah. The single person begins to praise and worship God. All of a sudden, there's a bubble that appears around them. A bubble of Holy Ghost power that begins to move. And anybody standing close enough to feel that bubble begins to feel the Holy Ghost move on them as well. You are helping the presence of God along when you begin to praise and worship and say, God, I want my blessing, and God, I want it to be contagious. I want it to move from me to everybody else around me. Hallelujah. We're about to sing this song. If you can use anybody, God, use me. Hallelujah. I want you to praise God with all of your heart and say, God, if you can use me to create an atmosphere, already there's one in here. But God, I want to create something even more powerful. If you can use anybody, you can use me. Hallelujah.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak to me. Use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Yes, God. If you can use anything, God, use me. Hallelujah. I want my blessing. I want my touch, God. Mighty God, I want to be used of you, Jesus. But I need a dose of the Holy Ghost. Mighty God, I want to be used of you, dear God. Hallelujah. Would you let your anointing flow over me right now? Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, I loose, dear God, the spirit of the Holy Ghost in this house. I loose the spirit of the Holy Ghost on every heart and every soul. Mighty God, I let your presence, mighty God, begin to touch souls, begin to touch hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, your word creates the miracle. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God, if you can use anything,
you can use anything, Lord,
Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord,
speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
You can use anything,
yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shana yala rabo shatia.
Can you use anything, Lord? You can use anything. You can use anything, Lord.
You can use anything. Shana riyabo shatia yala rabo
kuna. Take my hands, Lord, take my
feet.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord.
You can use me.
Anything,
Lord, you can use me.
If you can use anything,
Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. My heart, Lord,
speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Hallelujah. Can you raise your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Mighty God, I know that you're going to use me, though, God. Mighty God, I know that your anointing, though, God, is going to be upon my life. I know your Holy Ghost has spoken to me. Mighty God, I just want more. All that you can give, God. I want all that you can give, God. I want all that you can give. I want all your Holy Ghost upon me. I want all the presence of God that you can give me. Mighty God, I want my cup full and running over. I want my cup full and running over. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my head, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. Lord, you can use me.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands,
oh,
take my feet.
Hallelujah, you're everything, you're everything, you're everything to me, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Things, things, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Things,
things, I give you thanks for
think of what he's done for you. Think of where he's brought you from. Think of the miracles he's done in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed.
My soul has never
been. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, what a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's simple, but it works. I felt led before church to sing this, and I know it's simple, but for some reason God wants it done, so... I'm going to sing an old favorite. Jesus Loves Me. We don't have much. We don't have any music for this song, but if you'll bear with me, let the Holy Ghost move upon you. God has got something in this song He wants to get a hold tonight.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. Loves me still. Though I'm very weak and ill. From His shining throne on high comes to wash me where I lie. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me, oh, the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Can you just lift your hands and thank Him? God, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Oh, Koshaya la Rabata. See, I love you, Sadi, I love you, Shati, I love you, Kona, I love you, Shai, I love you. Kiatani, I love you, Shai, Kaya, I love you, Salari, Atani, I love you, Kosi, I love you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're so great, Jesus. You're so great, Jesus. It's come time to give an offering. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you'll reach back and grab that wallet and pull out what God lays on your heart to pull out. But the thing about giving is that with God, it never stops. He keeps giving no matter what happens. You can mess up, and God will still give His forgiveness again and again and again. It's a little bit of anything if we give what God says that the first fruits of what we get, the 10% of our first fruits. Given way back in the Old Testament, it's something they were to do, and it wasn't a suggestion. They were to give unto God out of the first fruits of what He had blessed. Give unto the Lord as we sing. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, you thanks. Praise the Lord. I thank you for responding. Thank you for getting a hold of the Holy Ghost and trying to get a hold of what God has for you. Amen. Pastor's coming. He's going to teach into us. Get behind him. Get into the Word of God. God has something for you tonight. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. You may be seated tonight. Amen, Brother Lee. I've got the calendar for the month of March ready tonight, if you would assist me there. All right. Amen. Sister Sarah Carpenter, would you assist me again and the people that we don't have on that birthday and anniversary list that we made a while back? If you would get those birthdays and anniversaries for me. So I will give you a copy of what we've got, and that way you can edit it. And add the things that we need then to that. That would be a great help. Add and take it away. March 22nd is Brother Andrews. Amen. All right. Got a lot of just good things going to be happening in the month of March. Amen. Our Tuesday night Bible studies. Didn't we have a great time last night? Amen. Great food. Amen. The Van Zants brought some Sloppy Joe that lived up to its name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It just dripped off that bun. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brother Jonathan did an awesome job teaching on David. I tell you, you could not have got a better lesson on King David if you would have been in the finest university that United States of America has to offer in theology. He did an awesome job, lots of great information, and it was great and wonderful. So we appreciate that. This Sunday, March the 15th, will be our birthday Sunday. So we'll be getting all that good stuff together. All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Fried chicken. We're going to Southern home style. Thank you, Jesus. Our April the 5th is Easter Sunday. April the 5th, that Sunday night, we'll be having a special presentation entitled The Angels Proclaim. And so do your best to have people to come after the presentation. We will probably have a dinner after the service that night on April the 5th. And so it'll be a great, great service. It's not a traditional thing that we normally do. It's a special presentation. So if you got somebody that might be totally foreign to the idea of church, they would be able to just feel a very, very good spirit of worship in the service, in the way that we do this presentation. And those that have been here in the past on our Easter presentation, we usually have several visitors, and God just really moves and deals on hearts and souls. So we enjoy our Easter service always. We're recording this tonight, so we want Sister Michelle to know that you are in our prayers. We know you're going to be listening to this. Hallelujah. And so for everybody else that logs onto the website, you get some good Holy Ghost teaching tonight too. So Lord bless you. Amen. And don't miss the next service. Amen. Be here in person. Hallelujah. That way, amen, the Holy Ghost can just move. Hallelujah. All right, tonight we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter number 8. And we will read together. Luke, chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 26. I will read verse 26, then the church will read the next verse, 27, then I'll read 28, you read 29. So we're doing responsive reading tonight. It's a great way to get the Word of God into your heart. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse number 26 through the end of the chapter tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke 8 was one of those T-bone steaks. You just couldn't eat it all in one setting. Hallelujah. I remember one time, several years ago, there was a steakhouse that came to Branson, and it was named Mesquite Charlie's. And it was an amazing steakhouse. It was three stories tall. It would seat over 1,000 people, a steakhouse would. And on each story, they had a kitchen there, and that kitchen was behind a plate glass window. And they had these huge grills where they grilled the steak over hardwoods. And you could see them cooking the steaks right there, and you could see that the kitchen was either clean or it was dirty. But it was clean when I went there, thank you, Jesus. But my father-in-law, it was around his birthday, so we got him their T-bone steak. And they had a 12-inch dinner plate, and when that T-bone steak came out, it was over three edges of that plate, just over slipping over the edge. That was the huge steak, the biggest one I've ever seen served at a restaurant. Hey, man, I can't remember if your dad ate it all that night or not. I think he did. I think he ate the whole thing. Hallelujah. Alrighty, Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Verse number 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Verse 32, and there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Verse 42, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Verse 46, and Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is going out of me." Verse 48, and he said unto them, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thou faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, She is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse 54, and he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. Verse 56, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for his word tonight. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your word tonight, oh God. It is rich, it is powerful. Oh Lord, we believe your word, God. Allow your word to speak into our hearts, oh God. Allow us, Lord, to take the word and to be able to plant it within us, God, that the faith and the word would grow, that the mountains would be moved and our lives would be touched. Instruct us and touch us. As Jesus stepped out of the boat on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a man who was possessed by demons fell down before Jesus. There is something about the power of the Holy Ghost that when it comes in contact with that which is of the dark side, that which is evil, it identifies and it recognizes that truly, the power of God has come into the place. And here was a hurting individual that had been under the powers of hell for many, many years. And Jesus came his way, and he had a desire, he had within him that which wanted to be set free. And that is something that must happen in each and every individual's life before someone can be delivered, before someone can have the Holy Ghost, before someone can change, before someone can be blessed. They've got to have the desire. They've got to come to the realization of what their need is. And let me tell you something. One of the things that I find myself doing as an apostolic preacher of the gospel is I'm having to get a lot of people lost before I can save them. We have a lot of people that walk through the door and they are living in their sin and in their iniquity, but yet they have been deceived by someone and told that they were saved in their sins. Jesus Christ did not come to save man in his sin. He came to save man from his sins. And so, as a result of it, when people get to the realization that there is a need, a realization that there is hope, a realization that there is a gift that God wants to give them, then they can make the decision that they are going to go after. They are going to receive that which God has for them. And as long as this man was not in contact with God, he didn't have that desire to have the freedom from that which bound him that was great enough that he would seek out the help that he needed. But when he felt the power of God, at that point he had the desire then to be delivered from that which possessed and bound him. And so may God allow us to have the Holy Ghost shining within us. Because when we go forth and people can begin to feel and experience the goodness of God, it will create within them a desire to draw nigh to God. And so he asked him his name, and the man said legions, because many demons had entered into him. The demons begged Jesus not to have them send them back out into the deep. And I have wondered about why in the world that Jesus cast the devils out and allowed them to go into a herd of pigs. And I feel like one of the layers of the onion here, and there may be another layer to this, there may be more involved in this, but I believe that one of the things that we have here is you have to remember that under the Levitical law that the Jews were forbidden to eat pork. The Jews were not to really have pigs. It wasn't, if you're not going to eat a pig, what good is it? You sure don't want them as a landscaping artist. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or been around a place where the wild pigs have been through the front yard. They do a job on the landscape, and it is not what you want. It's it turns it into an ankle-busting, axle-busting, terrible place when they get done. So there is this aspect of it that Jesus Christ decided to show them that, hey, even though you think that you're going to profit, even though that you think you have determined a way to get around God, that which God has stated, that which God has put in place, as long as God says this is the way it is, you're a lot better off to go along with it. Amen. And there are times and there's places that God does things, and they are for a season. They are for a particular period of time. We know that God anointed Saul to be king over Israel for a particular period of time. And as long as he was in that position, David respected him. So here was what God had put together. It wasn't until later on, after the Holy Ghost was poured out, that God said, hey, I have made these things clean. I've given you the knowledge that you need. It's what I understand. And now it's all right to go and eat pork. But up until that point, he said, hey, you're not going to profit from being disobedient to God. There is the law of the harvest. And even though the pigs were not devils, the devils were allowed to take care of something that ultimately served the purpose of God. So maybe that'll help you there a little bit in what you have seen. So they ran down the bank and they drowned in the sea. Now this gives you a little bit of an insight in what the characteristic of the devil is. The devil's ultimate plan is to kill and to destroy. Now, the reason that people are running around on this earth today and they're still alive and they're still serving the devil is because he feels like he's got the plan put together. He's got the exit there. He's still got him on the right track. But he's ultimately going to escalate. He's going to escalate their path. He's going to escalate their death. He's going to do everything he can to get them to the grave as fast as he possibly can. You look at the major sins in our world today, and they are things that involve escalating the death of mankind. Do people drink alcohol because it gives them long life? Well, they want to try to tell you that. But no, it is something that destroys life. I'll never forget a young man by the name of Marvin. He was at 21 years of age, and one of the other ministers in my church went to visit him in the hospital, and the medical facility there was consulting with the family and with the minister, and they said, you just do your best to console the family, Brother Akers, because this young man at 21 years of age, we understood he's drunk a six-pack of beer every day since he was 12 years old. He is literally bleeding to death. Every organ in his body is bleeding. He is putting blood out of his body faster than we can pump it in. It's just a matter of time, and he's dead. He's going to bleed to death. There's no way that we can keep enough blood going into him to keep him alive. So we see the MO of the devil. He is one that wants to destroy. He is one that wants to kill because he wants to get mankind to judgment so that they will be in the same misery and the same torment that he is in. God is the other way around. He is the one that wants to give life. He's the one that wants to build. He's the one that wants to restore. He's the one that wants to give peace to mankind. As we look here, all of this going on, the people really didn't understand all that was going about. Some of them were just looking at their dollars and cents, looking at their possession that was gone. But there was something about this man that we see that when he was underneath the spell of the devil, he ran around naked in the graveyard. And it is very, very enlightening to see that when God begins to describe his atmosphere, what was going on after the devils were cast out, it says he was clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I tell you, there is something connected with the evil spirits and people taking all their clothes off. There is a connection that is there. There is spiritual connection between that. Adam and Eve, all the way back to them when they were in the garden, they were innocent. And as a result of their innocence, it was like a little baby. A little baby is innocent. They don't have no idea why they put clothes on. They just... they'll go anywhere in their birthday suit that they were born with. They're fine with it until they come to the knowledge of what is going on. But the spirits that are out there in our world today are affecting our society, a full court pressure, trying to desensitize us, trying to keep us in a place, in a position where that the standards for morality and virtue, the standards for modesty, are constantly being eroded and pulled down. Just because they put the picture in a National Geographic don't mean that it was a modest picture. The things that they're putting in there are usually the heathens in a foreign land that don't even know how to, you name it, grow a garden, read the Bible, etc., etc. So when we come to God, amen, God wants his people to be clothed, and he wants to put us in the right mind. If there is a right mind, then that means there is a wrong mind. There's a wrong mindset. There's a wrong way of thinking about things. There's a wrong way of measuring things. We are a society that has filters and measures for everything around us. Everything is categorized. There are certain words in our society that used to was a bad thing to say. Now, those words are proclaimed everywhere. It's a part of the language of those that are perverted and immoral. And we see, as a result of it now, the Christians are being persecuted for telling people what we believe. There is a Navy chaplain right now in the United States of America that was the chaplain for the Navy SEALs, has a 19-year career as a chaplain, a stellar record, nothing but high marks and accommodations, that they are trying to drum him up and discharge him out of the military because when people ask him about his Christian belief, he tells them that immorality is wrong, that people should not be sleeping together if they're not married, and he tells them that the Bible tells us that homosexuality is a sin. And there is a big push by some powers that be in the Navy to destroy this man's career because they want to make all the other chaplains fearful to execute their duties according to the Bible so that they have a bunch of people in there that are totally useless as spiritual advisors. Our country today, amen, is in a great, great war, good versus evil. The mindset is not the right mind. That which is evil is spoken of good, and that which is good is spoken of evil. May God allow the church to pray and see God's face and continue to do what is right in the face of the onslaught from hell. After this, Jesus returns to Capernaum, and here he finds the leader of the synagogue begging him to come and to heal his daughter. This is a big deal. The leader of the synagogue, this is the Jewish house of worship in the city. This is a man that was a part of the established Jewish system. And for him to come to the realization that he needed Jesus was a big deal. And God was concerned, and God did love this person. But there were many, many other people around him with needs in their life. And I believe what God was trying to do was trying to help us and help others to realize that there's other factors that are involved in situations that we're not aware of. There's other fingers, other things that are connected. I don't know, when you was a kid, if you ever played the game of, did they call it pickup sticks? Where that you had this little tin full of wooden sticks and you dropped them out on the table and you had to try to get the stick out without touching the other one, right? And it was very important. You had to look at what the relationship, because this one affected that one and that one affected this one, and if you hit that one was going to fall down. And so there was a lot of interaction there that went on. And so Jesus was trying to let us know in 2015 that God knows what's going on and he is going to take care of the situation. It may not look to us that it's getting done when we want it done, and it may look like to us that it's not going to happen, but when Jesus is on the way, he's on the way. And along the way, there's other people with needs in their life, and the situation can still reach out to multiple, multiple people. So he was walking here towards his home. There's a woman, the Bible tells us, for 12 years, she had an issue of blood. Hemorrhaging, evidently, is what it was. And she touched Jesus, and she was immediately healed. That lets us know that for them to say this, that there was something special about the situation. And so, let's look at it a little closer. Jesus felt the virtue go out of him, and he asked, "Who had touched me?" And sometimes, wow, the power of God comes down, and we're just touched in a very, very special way. And the people all around us are going about their business as normal. Wow. What's so special about what just happened? I didn't see anything. I didn't feel anything. When God moves upon you and God touches you in a service, it may not be anybody else crying, but if you feel a spirit of weeping coming over your soul, amen, just open up those tear ducts and let them flow. Amen. You may be the only one that touches Jesus that day. The throng may never, ever get through what's going on around them. They may be too distracted on what Jesus is going to do in order for God to be able to do something for them right now. But if we're willing to reach out to God with our need, he is a God that can do something for us regardless of where we're at, regardless of what's going on, if we have the key ingredient. Jesus told her, "Thy faith has made you whole." You had the faith. You was able to believe. You was able to go above the doubt and believe God. Now, this lady had tried everything else. For 12 years, she had spent all that she had on the physicians. Now, from what I see in the Scripture and what I know from past experiences, I believe the best way to go about a situation is if you have a sickness or an illness, is go to Jesus first and ask him and seek him for the answer. Amen. God is a healer. There's too many people that are willing to grab the Tylenol and the ibuprofen and pop it without saying a prayer. There's a lot of cabinets that would be full of drugs tonight if people would just pray first. I believe it. But not every time is Jesus going to bring a healing. And there's many, many different reasons for that. I'm not going to go into them tonight. And so, if God doesn't heal you, then God has given us the knowledge and the understanding of many, many things. And if your faith is at an end, go to the doctor. Amen. Go to somebody that's got some knowledge. Try to get some understanding. Try to get some help. Try to get things to be taken care of. And, hey, God can still work miracles when you go to the doctor. God can still work miracles if you need medicine, or if you need surgery, or you need whatever it may be. God can guide the hands of surgeons. He can give them knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And when it's all said and done, ultimately, many people are going to hear the medical profession look at them and say, there's nothing else we can do. Amen. And when that happens, truly God comes on the picture, because he's the one that says whether it's through or not. He's the one that says whether that's the end or not. Because when man gets to the end, then God, a lot of times, begins to do his finest work. So her faith made her whole. She touched Jesus. Well, to all appearances, before they ever arrived at Jairus' home, his daughter died. This is a tough situation here. It really, really is. Because Jesus could have healed her without ever taking one step towards Jairus' home. Jesus could have played bullet and shot through the crowd and got there before the child died and healed her and raised her up. But those things didn't happen. And when he arrives here at the home, he told them that the daughter was sleeping. He was building faith within them. And one of the other things that we see is that when he entered into the house, he took only Peter, James, and John and the girl's parents. There's times that in order to see the power of God work, you've got to have an atmosphere of faith. I have seen it before. I have seen people that have been struggling even to receive the Holy Ghost, and as long as there were doubters sitting out in the audience, that person is never, ever going to get the Holy Ghost. I have seen it happen, that people would be praying for the Holy Ghost, and I'd feel led to send everybody home except the few that God told me to have stay and pray. And got the doubters out of the way, and bam, God filled them with the Holy Ghost. There is something about an atmosphere of faith where the power of God can work, where that there is nothing but God's faith concentrated on the situation. So be aware of that. Doubt does drain your spiritual battery. So we have to be careful even in our life. There is contact that we have to have with the world, but we have to realize that contact with the world is a spiritual drain. And your battery is not unlimited. It has to be recharged. What did they do in Acts chapter 2 after they received the Holy Ghost? Let's go there tonight. I feel led to go over that again. Acts chapter 2. And verse number 42. Acts 2 and 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is very, very important. The church has to have doctrine. The church has to stand for something. And years ago, there was a very famous Baptist pastor down in Dallas, Texas, by the name of Criswell, I believe. And he got up on one Sunday morning and shocked the whole congregation. From what I understand, he stood on the back of the pews on the front row and looked out there and said, some of you people in here need to have a conviction in your life of something. He said, if nothing else, get a conviction in your heart that Coca-Cola is wrong and don't ever drink another Coca-Cola again. Well, he hit upon a point that in America, people refuse to take a stand against anything. We have a world that's full of situational ethics. They teach it in our educational facilities, our places of higher learning, the situational ethics, and they'll get up and they'll justify you killing your grandma. They will put together a situation where that you are a terrible, rotten, good-for-nothing person if you don't kill your grandma. Amen? But that is not the Bible. That is not the truth. The Bible has the absolutes of the Word of God, and they are true and they are solid, and we will stand with them. The church has doctrine. So we're going to stand upon the Word of God. We're going to stand, be a church that believes the Bible. We believe in prayer. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in baptism in Jesus' name. We believe in holiness. We believe in living an overcoming lifestyle. We believe in coming out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, amen. We believe in a church of revival, a church of evangelism, a church that loves and cares and prays and reaches out to our world and our community. Then he says, and fellowship. You know what? One of the things that my dear old dad used to say when he was talking about fellowship, he'd look out there at everybody kind of down over his glasses and say, in order to have fellowship, you got to be in the ship. Amen. There's a lot of people that want to float their own boat. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Honey, you and Jesus don't have your own thing going. Because Jesus is hooked up to the church. Jesus is in love with the church. Jesus is coming back after the church is his bride, honey. Jesus is getting married to the church. And you are not going to weasel your way in and get you a relationship with Jesus. Because he's already got him a honey, honey. It's the church. So they had fellowship, and they said in here they had breaking of bread. And in prayers. We have doctrine, we have fellowship, we have food, and we have prayer. So here's what the church was involved in. Amen. The Bible says they continued daily in the temple. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and finding favor with the people. And the Lord added unto the church such as should be saved. We are the sales department. God is the results department. We go out, we present the gospel, we present the fruit, and people that want it, amen, are going to come in and be a part of it. So here is a family that God reached down and touched this young lady and healed her, and they were astonished by it. Sometimes we're astonished by things that happen around us. And I don't know if we should be astonished at some things, because really, after you live for God for a while, you really do become to expect certain things. It's just the way that God does business. But I don't want to ever lose my awe of God's glory, because it's not me that's making it happen. And I am not one that is owed this from God. It is a gift from God. I'm not owed it. I am not one that deserves it. I am not one that owns it. I am a steward of God's great mercy and His gift of truth. And I want to handle it with respect and awe, knowing that I don't deserve it. Oh, how great and how wonderful it is to be one that receives these blessings from God, that receives the power of the Holy Ghost and God working in this way within my heart and within my soul. The world around us tonight, they need Jesus. But they need the real Jesus. They don't need a velvet Jesus. They need a Savior that will deliver them from their sin that is around them. Because without change, they're not ever going to make it. Because if you continue down the same path, doing the same thing, going the same places, believing the same thing, you're going to get the same results, which is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And I want to tell you, just like this man that was full of the legions of devils, there's a lot of people that is just waiting for the power of God to come by. They're sick of the way that they've been living. They're sick of what's going on in their life. They're sick of the pain. They're sick of the suffering. They're sick of all of the oppressions of this world. And they're wanting God to come by and to ask them their name. I don't think they called him legions anymore, did you? No. When God got done, he was a changed individual. And there's somebody in your world tonight, can you stand with me, that needs the presence of God that you have in your heart and your soul to come by and to address the spirits that are tormenting them. We have a lot of people in our world today, they're not possessed of the devil. They're not totally taken over by hell, but they're tormented by the evil spirits that are out there. They are taken captive at the devil's will. The devil toys with them. He'll come by and set a trap for them, and they'll just fall into the trap, and he'll sit there and torment them for a while. And then he'll let them go and laugh at them and say, I can get you again whenever I want you. They need somebody that's loving them, that's prayed up, willing to reach out to them. Amen. Can we just reach out to the Lord tonight? Dear God, Lord, you see each and every one of us that are here tonight. God, you want us to be a witness, oh Lord. There's somebody in our world tonight, oh God. There's somebody around us, oh Lord, that are being tormented by the powers of hell, oh God. We are their hope, oh God. We are their hope, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Move by your mercy, oh God. You're an awesome God tonight, oh God. You're an awesome God tonight, oh Lord. Move, oh God. Reach down, Lord, and aspire the church, oh Lord. Give us a burden. Give us a desire to be a witness, oh God. Give us the wisdom and the light, God, to shine forth in the darkness, oh God. Oh, God, they're bound by the alcohol. They're bound by the drugs. They're bound by the tobacco, oh God. They're bound by the pornography, God. They're bound by the gods of this world. Oh, Lord, some way, Lord, allow the power of the Holy Ghost to work through us. Make them hungry for deliverance, oh God. Make them hungry for truth, oh God. So many are bound by tradition. They're bound by false doctrine. They're bound by the false prophets, oh God. Lord, you want to set them free, God. You want to show them the light. You want to show them, Lord, that you are their God, that you love them, you died for them, and you want to give them the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. As a church tonight, let's join together in prayer for Sister Michelle. Amen. That God would reach down and touch her. I know her desire is to be in the house of God. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Dear God, Lord, we ask you to reach down tonight, God. Touch Sister Michelle, Lord. You are the healer, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Blessed be the name of the Lord tonight. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless you tonight. Thank you so very much for coming, being a part of what God has done. A beautiful spirit of worship tonight. Amen. The word has richly blessed us and fed us. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Lord bless you. Shake hands. Remember, we're still the friendliest church in town.